A major report is warning time is running out to take action on climate change. The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has found global warming will likely increase by 1.5 degrees within the decade. What does that mean for South Australia? Well, Flinders University's Global Ecology Professor Corey Bradshaw joins me now. Hi there, Professor. How are you?
Good morning.
Now, this is the most comprehensive report to date on climate change from what I understand. What is the key message that you're taking out of it?
Well, it's the same message, really, that we've kind of been saying for 20, 30 years now, and especially within the last 10 years. I guess what this does is really show up some of the certainty associated with some of the projections. So it really looks like 1.5 is, avoiding 1.5 is beyond our capacity, potentially maybe 2, but by the end of the century, we're looking at 3, if not 4 degrees. So we've really sort of tightened up the modeling and the available observations to show that we really haven't done much, if anything at all, to slow the progress.
And this is less about our grandchildren now. It's about us, isn't it?
Well, look what's happening around the world and look what happened to us in 2019-20. That's just going to get, worse and worse. In fact, many of my colleagues say it's look at this year, as hot as it might be, this is the coolest year for the next few centuries.
Yeah, right. And we've also had a El Nino, right? So it's been kind of a cooler, wetter year compared with other years.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you get annual fluctuations, even decadal kind of fluctuations. But all in all, the average upon which those fluctuations operate is increasing.
Right. So what does that mean for South Australia in the coming years? What does, a couple of degrees warmer mean?
Well, a lot of people say, oh, a couple of degrees warmer, it's not a big deal, few more weeks with outdoor barbie at the end of summer, that's all good. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that because we're talking about the extreme situations. It's the heat waves, it's the bushfires, it's the floods, it's the extreme rain events, it's the extreme storm events, even in the winter when it's cooler, that cause the major damage. It's not the average that counts, it's the extreme. So we're just pushing out those extremes to happen more and more. So, for example, what we call on an average base, something that's 1 in 100 year event will become 1 in a 10 year event within a few years, or 1 in every 3 years. So it's the frequency of these major disasters that's increasing.
Right. And you mentioned bushfires there, but also I've noticed there's been a real issue of trees coming down in the Adelaide Hills in the past year. Is that something we're going to see more and more of as climate change becomes a bigger issue?
Well, if you sort of combine the extreme drying out in the summer, which kills trees or at least, weakens them, and then you get big flooding events in the winter, that's when you get a lot of trees coming down, a lot of dead material. And then you also get invasion of lots of other species that are, better equipped for those hot temperatures, and those can alter how the native species clump up. And you'll get wholesale changes in the vegetation over time.
Flinders University's Global Ecology Professor Corey Bradshaw is with us. Now, what needs to happen on a policy level to address these issues? You mentioned before, not really much has been done.
Well, we think that if we do our recycling and that we take the bus to work, that that's going to be enough. Unfortunately, it's not even close. I mean, we have to radically transform both our economic system as well as our energy delivery. And that includes not just renewables, but we really have to think about things like fission if we want to have any sort of chance of getting our emissions down. We have to completely transform our transportation network. And, it's a controversial topic, but the number one thing a person can do to reduce their lifetime emissions is choosing not to have one extra child.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So just being conscious of the population would make a big difference, right?
Yeah, we don't tend to think about that in South Australia, but we're living in a marginal country as it is. And by any ecological standard, we've vastly exceeded carrying capacity already.
What about carbon? Should we be transitioning more to renewables?
Yeah, well, that's in train, and that's a good thing, but it's not enough. And that's the other thing. I mean, we have to combine both the reduction in demand, which, a lot of people are conscious of, but it's very difficult when you consider the fact that our public transport is not great. We can't travel easily between the major cities in Australia without using air travel. Australians tend to travel a lot overseas, although not in the last year and a half, of course. But, you know, even COVID has not really made a huge dent in our emissions because we still do a lot of transport of goods by ship and by air. So we rely on this massive global trade network and we've become used to it, but that's causing such immense amount of damage globally. And it's not, you know, it's not Australia's fault. It's not South Australia's fault. It's not anyone's fault. It's the entire globe. And you know, you have to get players to play in a team for there to be any real movement, because you know, one country, one team player that doesn't play the game, you're going to lose.
Right, and Australia is a rich nation, but one could argue we're also a small contributor to pollution compared to the rest of the world. So would action from us make a big difference?
Absolutely. The thing is, we're one of the highest per capita emitters in the entire world. We're also one of the highest per capita water users. We have the highest mammalian extinction rate on the planet. We are superlative wasters in Australia. And, you know, leading by example, just because, oh, you know, we're not going to make much of a difference. If everyone says it, like I said, you know, if you're not playing on the team, we all lose. It's not just you know, the short-term profit that gets knocked on the head. It's the long-term pain that we're going to have to pay for generations. And we're starting to pay for that now.
Right. So what would you like to see done?
Well, I'd like to see some major changes to our climate policies in Australia as well as at the state level. We need to have a much larger consideration of reforestation and restoration of our degraded ecosystems. We need to seriously curtail our political system so that it's not being influenced by the corporates, which right now, essentially, we don't have a democracy. We have what's called a plutocracy, meaning that, you know, our corruption is legal in the form of political donations. We have to get rid of this system, otherwise there's no hope.
And on an individual level, is there anything we can do?
Yeah, well, you know, it's everyone's little bit helps. You can, as I said before, you know, your biggest contribution is not breeding, or at least breeding less. But the other things we can think about too is seriously moving towards plant-based diets. That has a massive effect globally. Agriculture is one of the biggest emitters, and also the degradation of land. So if we can remove our livestock dependency, that's going to have a huge impact. Obviously, continuing to shun overseas travel where possible, and moving to a fully electric system for transport, which is being impeded by taxes right now in Australia. It's insane. There are additional taxes, not incentives, for buying electric vehicles in this country.
Yeah, and that's something that other countries have done the opposite of, right? In you know,
exactly.
Nordic countries.
Exactly, we're way behind the eight ball on this one. Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll watch this space, and we appreciate you coming on to share your thoughts. Thanks so much for your time today, Professor Corey Bradshaw.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.